This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, there are still roadblocks preventing the rand from reaching its fair value, and factory activity in South Africa slipped back into contraction in August. The economist Walter Krichel talks about the affordability of government debt. In international business news, there are signs of stronger economic ties between Russia, China and India. In investment news, a multi-asset broker launched a campaign in South Africa aimed at supporting local trade. And we'll check in with Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among other aspects, about why investor optimism in South Africa faded since the formation of the Government of National Unity.
A look now at local business news.
South Africa's rand has surprised markets in 2025, holding steady between 17 rand 50 and 17 rand 80 to the dollar, despite global shocks like Trump's tariffs. Analysts say the currency has broken its long-term cycle of steady depreciation, boosted by global de-dollarization and the Reserve Bank's tighter 3% inflation target. While a stronger rand lowers import costs and boosts investor confidence, exports face pressure as minerals and agriculture lose competitiveness. Economists warn persistent freight and port failures remain a key roadblock in preventing the rand from reaching its fair value. South Africa's economy is set for a major boost as international companies expand offshore operations in the country. It is estimated that the sector could add over 120 billion rand to the economy by 2030, while creating more than 212,000 skilled jobs in fields like accounting, auditing and financial analysis. Offshoring currently contributes around 76 billion rand, but this is projected to rise by 45%, strengthening South Africa's role as a hub for high-value business services and export-led growth. And factory activity in South Africa slipped back into contraction in August, with APSA's Purchasing Managers Index falling to 49.5. This follows July's brief rebound, while the index moved into expansionary territory for the first time in 9 months. Weaker domestic demand, global trade, uncertainty, and renewed US tariffs weighed on manufacturers, with new sales orders dropping sharply. While employment improved slightly, it remains below growth levels. Economists warn that US tariffs will continue to undermine activity, with GDP growth forecast at just 0.8% for 2025. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Walter Krichel, on the line with us. Walter, why does government debt become unaffordable and unsustainable at a certain point?
The government incurs debt mainly by selling bonds in the capital market. The buyers are pension funds, insurers, banks and other asset managers. They lend money to the government because they earn a good interest rate, and the risk of not getting repaid is relatively low. Most of these bonds are denominated in rand and are mainly bought by South African investors. There are also bonds issued in foreign currencies, and foreigners can own both types. However, in recent years, foreigners have been net sellers of our government debt. A small portion of our borrowing is from international financial institutions, such as the World Bank, the BRICS New Development Bank, or the African Development Bank. These loans are often linked to specific issues or programs, such as the spending related to the COVID-19 pandemic or the just energy transition. In short, the issue of the high debt-to-GDP ratio is not about the mix of domestic or foreign debt, or about who we owe the money to. It's simply about affordability. Interest payments on debt are a first charge on the government's tax revenue. In our case, about 21 cents of every rand of tax revenue is spent first to pay interest on government debt. Because the debt level is high and the interest rates on it are high, the interest burden becomes unsustainable.
Thanks very much, Professor Walter Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
This week, Russia's Vladimir Putin, China's Xi Jinping, and India's Narendra Modi met at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit, signaling stronger economic ties between the three countries. For Moscow, the gathering was a lifeline. India and China now buy most of Russia's oil, cushioning its economy against Western sanctions. Analysts say Russia may offer even deeper discounts to secure sales, while India and China benefit from cheaper energy. The summit also underscored their shared resistance to U.S. tariffs and sanctions.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Prime XBT, a multi-asset broker regulated by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, has launched a campaign in South Africa aimed at supporting local trade. The initiative comes as interest in online trading grows, driven by better market access and increasing retail participation. Prime XBT says the focus will be on transparency, lower costs, and providing access to a broad range of global markets. The company adds that the training and education will form part of its offering to ensure sustainable growth in South Africa. Africa's trading sector. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. Why has investor optimism in South Africa faded since the formation of the Government of National Unity?
Despite the optimism of the formation of the Government of National Unity, said government has not delivered stuff substantively on South Africa's growth rates, not in terms of things like construction and infrastructure investment, and also not on decidedly pro-economic growth and pro-market reforms. Therefore, things such as gross fixed capital formation remain low, as well as policies such as the Expropriation Act, the National Health Insurance Act, and the amended Employment Equity Act all drive down potential job creation and investment. So at the moment, the upside of the GNU has not yet been fulfilled. There is considerable upside potential if South Africa is able to attract some capital. Even while positioned as a low growth environment, it could attract exponentially more by embarking on a reform course that decisively addresses its many weaknesses.
What factors highlight the decline and challenges facing South Africa's manufacturing sector?
As highlighted in the company Ital Tiles' recent group results released last week, the obstacles confronting the manufacturing sector and manufacturing companies in South Africa include an onerous regulatory environment, deteriorating infrastructure, uncertain energy supply, and spiraling municipal costs. These all have led to the acceleration of deindustrialization. If one looks at over the last 10 to 15 years, inconsistent electricity supply as well as logistics issues at South Africa's ports, it is little surprise that the manufacturing sector has declined and is struggling to make a substantive contribution to South Africa's economy.
Why are South Africa's efforts to diversify exports beyond the US facing difficulties?
Well, the government has talked a lot about diversifying exports and developing other export markets beyond the US, given US tariffs, reciprocal tariffs of 30%. Key South African export markets such as Europe and China are facing their own domestic growth issues. So in China, for example, growth remains relatively low by Chinese standards. In Europe, one looks at consistent political uncertainty in countries most recently, including the Netherlands and in France. Now, in 2024, the European Union accounted for 20% of total South African merchandise exports. And in 2023, South Africa attracted 1.4 billion rand worth of foreign direct investment from Europe. Therefore, if countries and regions such as Europe and China don't start to grow in a positive direction, that will mean less demand for imports, less demand for commodities, and that of course will impact negatively on South African exporters, farmers, and other role players in the manufacturing and construction space who try to export to other countries.
And that was Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by NewsScoop.